Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. I've looked at this before, this passage, but I now want to look at it from the point of view of what we learn of God here. I've tried to speak on what we see of Satan here, but now I want to speak of God. The first thing I want to say about this is that God knows all about his people. You see, verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Now what the Lord says here, he calls Job his servant, my servant. He is one who belongs to me. He pleases me. He ministers to me. He does my will. He belongs to me. I am his God. I am his master. He is my servant. And here is my verdict on him. Here is my character reference. There is no one on earth like him. I know all about him. I know what he's like at home. I know what he's like in his family. I know what he's like in private, in public. There's no one on earth like him. He belongs to me and I know him. He pleases me. He is blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. This was the testimony that was given right at the beginning of the book. In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. That is the record of him. And now here is the Lord speaking. The Lord's own verdict. Blameless, upright, a God-fearing man. A man who shuns evil. A man who is practically godly in his daily life. At home and in public, in private, and in the open air. Wherever he is, this man is a man of God. Brother and sister in Christ, I covet this relationship with God. I bless God I have it. I bless God that Jesus said, "I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends." Is it not a wonderful thing that God knows all about our little circumstances? He knows us when we're on our own, when we're in public, when we're in private. He knows our personal affairs. I want this verdict about myself too. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want to know that I please God, that I'm blameless and upright, that I'm a man who fears God and shuns evil. I have a long way to go, but I want this kind of reputation, not only from men, but above all from God. And God gave it to Job. The Lord knows all about his people. The second point I want to make here is that God protects his people and blesses them. Look at verses 9 to 10. Yes, the Lord instigates the onslaught that's going to come, and I'm going to deal with that in a moment. But the fact is, even in the onslaught, the devil is under the Lord's command and limitation. Verse 9 and 10, Satan has accused God of protecting him and defending him and shielding him and blessing him. But that's the truth of it. God has blessed him. Brother and sister, God has blessed us, has he not? He has blessed me far, far more than ever I could understand or know. Far more than ever I deserve. He has poured blessings upon me. Daily he loads us with benefits. He has no sorrow with it. Yeah, there are sorrows. But one day all sorrow will be taken away. You put a hedge around him. You blessed his household. You blessed his stock. You've been with him. I'm not talking materially now in the new covenant, but God has blessed us, has he not, brother and sister? With infinite blessings, the forgiveness of our sins, peace with God, everlasting life, joy in Christ, liberty, peace. What more can he say? What more can he do? What more can he give us? God protects and blesses his people. He blesses them, 9 and 10. Yes. But then in verse 11 and 12, he goes on. He goes on. The Lord says, well, everything is in your, he's in your hand. Everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Do not lay a hand upon him. I want you to hurt him, says Satan to God. God says, well, you go ahead then. You do what you want, but only thus far. Thus far and no further. You see, I'm protecting him. You see, the point I'm making here, God blesses Job. And he's blessed us, brother and sister. And God protects Job. And God is protecting us, defending us. Augustus Toplady put this in a very lovely hymn. I'm sure you know it. Let me read it to you at this stage. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound, his grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. Kind author and ground of my hope, thee for my God I avow, my glad Ebenezer set up, and own thou hast helped me till now. I muse on the years that are past, wherein my defence thou hast proved, nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so signally loved. Yes, because the top lady has caught the spirit of it. Job could sing this. Job knew it. Brother and sister, I sing it. I know it too. God has protected and defended and blessed and opened a way for me through all the trials and difficulties of life. And it's the same for you, brother. It's the same for you, sister. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. And then the third point here, and it's connected with it. Why did God bring this onslaught onto Job? Now, the accusers will come one after another and say, Job, it's because you're a sinner. Job, it's because you've sinned. You must have sinned to bring this upon you. That's what they'll say again and again. They'll lay it on with a trowel. But we know the verdict, and we know the cause, and we know the answer before we start, and here it is. It is not because Job is a sinner. Well, he is. But God is not bringing this onslaught to hurt him and damage him. Because he has sinned. It's quite the opposite. God is using Job as a display of his glory. It's because he's a good man, a great man, a godly man, that God is going to use him. And he's moving Satan so that God will get the glory in his grace and wisdom and protection and blessing of Job. You see, we have it in Scripture. I'm speaking on it. And even Job himself was benefited by it. Let me just explore this, you see. God provokes Satan. Verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? You see, have you thought about him? Go and try it and see. Very well then, verse 12. You can touch everything that's about him. Not himself, but him, the man himself. Not the man himself, but all his property. All his possessions. All that belongs to him. Go for him. But don't lay a finger on him. Try it and see. You see, God will have the godliness and the grace of Job tested. He's going to vindicate his own grace and his own work in Job. And you see, as you read the New Testament, you find this made very clear. Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 21, for example. Ephesians 2 verses 6 and 7. And many other places, what you see, that God is getting glory to his name by what he does in the church and in individual believers. He's speaking to the realms and principalities and powers and the angels, the devils, and he's saying, look, this is what my grace can stand. He's doing it to the devil here. He's displaying himself here in Job. He's using him as a sounding board to preach a sermon. He's using him as a display even to the devils himself, even to the devil himself. Is God's purpose. You see, in John 13, verse 7, Jesus says to the disciples, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will know afterwards. And we can't, often we cannot see in our lives what God is doing, but he's working his purpose out. And our afflictions and our trials and our setbacks are working for the greater glory of God. and the revelation of his grace, even to the devil himself and to devils. This is God's purpose and plan. This is God's way. You see it in 2 Corinthians 12 with the apostle. Here he is, afflicted. Now, says Christ, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, my grace, my strength, my glory shines out. You see, you think of these things as trials and difficulties and setbacks and problems, yes, but God is getting greater glory. Brother and sister, see that. May I illustrate this? I'm sorry if it's a personal illustration, but it's one that comes to hand. You see, in my experience here in the UK, nearly all the gatekeepers have closed the gate against me. They've closed me down. They won't let me speak. I have no way of reaching the people. I can't communicate. There are just a few openings left, but mostly they're closed. But God, in his great mercy and wisdom and providence, has opened for me a way that I can leap over the wall and reach you now. I don't say this is the right way or the best way, but it is a way. And although the gatekeepers want to silence me, God is using even this for his glory to spread his word in a way that perhaps wouldn't be spread through me in any other way. Maybe I speak to half a dozen or 20 people in a congregation. Maybe now I speak to a lot more in this way. You see, that's just one illustration, and I can see that, but there will be hosts of other things that I cannot see. This is going on in secret here with Job and Satan. Job is a godly man. His trials are because he is godly. Brother and sister, judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Don't mistake here. You see, you can't see what he's doing. Do not judge God's heart by his hand. Do you see what I mean? Don't judge the way he feels about you by the way it appears he's dealing with you. He may have bigger fish to fry. And then the comfort for us. 2 Corinthians 12, I've already referred to. Christ's grace is sufficient for us, brother and sister. Our weakness will greatly glorify God. That's what I see in this passage. God knows his people. He protects his people. And he uses his people to glorify his name. That's what I want today for me. I bless God for the truth of it. Now I want to live it out. And I hope and pray, brother and sister, that you too will find comfort, assurance, edification, instruction by this short discourse. May we today rejoice in God knowing all about us. God's protecting of us and blessing us. And God using us, using even us, even using you, brother and sister, yes, whoever you are, using us today for his glory in a far greater sense than we could ever understand. Blessed be his name. Amen.